This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Grainger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Aloha and welcome back to another episode of the Ohana Packers Edition podcast, the podcast where two dudes from halfway around the world talk everything green and gold. I'm Mike, and joined by Iowa Joe. And Joe, we're flying by the seat of our pants on this one.
The show where we have no clue what we're going to be doing.
So in that case, here's a baby.
We're just going to let the kiddos take over the show for the next hour. We were just talking off air about this. This is the time of year where it's so hard to make content because you got very little when it comes to any kind of news. And you can tell that by when people are trying to debate Brock Purdy and Jordan Love, or Jordan Love and Jared Goff and stuff like that. So it is what it is. We're still going to keep trying to produce out these shows. So the big thing is we want you guys to let us know what you want to hear.
There's a bit of a hole when we don't have to worry about covering darkness retreats or things like that. So
yeah, or shroom trips or shit like that. So
there's just naturally less to talk about when you have a quote unquote normal off season mechanic operation to go through. But there have been some moves that the Packers made. Of course, they're more on the very periphery, if at all, even on the fringe of the periphery of the roster. And we did get some news about, some upcoming contract negotiations, for lack of a better term, with regards to Eric Stokes. But we'll start with the transactions. The Packers signed wide receivers Julian Hicks and Dimitri Stanley, along with center Lesedis Smith to their roster. I don't believe we saw corresponding moves yet because the Packers were at the 90-man roster limit going into rookie training camp or rookie camp, but we haven't seen the feedback on who got released to make those moves. But
yeah, that part's got me all kind of confused because I swore they said that we had like 5 open spots going into the rookie camp, and now they have to make moves. So I'm not sure what's going on. But you know one of them's going to be when June 1st hits, Devondre Campbell will be off officially. So that technically opens up a spot. Obviously there's some fringe guys on the roster that'll probably take the hit. My biggest hope and hope of hopes is that Royce Newman doesn't make it to training camp, but I don't think that's going to happen. So Mike and I were trying to talk about these guys before the show when we were trying to figure out what we were going to do for the show itself. And really, unless these guys pop off amazingly in preseason and camp, they're more camp guys than anything, just because of how stacked they are. I mean, they signed the two wide receivers, but they've got three quarterbacks on the roster right now, technically four, but three quarterbacks on the roster right now. And they're going to need people to throw to during camp to see how, you know, to see how they can progress and work on their stuff and that. So, and then offensive line, they've invested so much money in the offensive line. I'm not money, but, you know, draft capital and that on offensive linemen, that they really don't need another one at the moment. So I just, I think it revolves around, okay, well, we're going to take a flyer on a guy and just see what happens with it. And if he pops off, we've got another winner. If he doesn't, then we're not out anything. So, you know, from rookie camp, the two big, the big noisemakers were Julian Hicks and Dimitri Stanley. Obviously, people are starting to see that Stanley has a familial history with the Packers at the moment, just because his dad played for him in the 80s. So there is a little bit of connection there, but I don't think the connection is enough to say, hey, we've got the second coming of, and, you know, he's going to take a roster spot. But other than that, I really don't know much about him. I think Hicks is at like 6'2", 210. And I think Dimitri is a little bit smaller. At his pro day, he measured 5'10" and 7'8" and 188 pounds. And he ran a 4.5 240. So that's not really appealing. But, you know, hey, whatever. You know, again, camp body. So that's about all our report we can have of the rookie training, the rookie camp from the last couple of days.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that whole notion of who's going to really come out of, what reporter is going to have the balls to come out of rookie camp and just say, ah, all these guys suck. They blew it. They really blew it that last weekend. So, we didn't learn too much. It, you know, as much as there's been reporting, it does sound like the reporters are seeing a difference between Halfley's new scheme and the schemes that have been implemented in the past few years. How that translates to actual NFL games remains to be seen, but new is better in a lot of senses. And honestly, Green Bay needed just a refresher on the defensive side of the ball. So it's good to see that, you know, it's on air for the most part, but it's good to see that there is a noticeable, discernible difference in how the defense looks just from a schematic standpoint, even if it is just the rookies. So something to, you know, be half glass full about. But yeah, like you said, like Joe said, nothing much to be learned at this point. Those two receivers, not only, you know, ahead of them, not only is it Dobbs, Watson, Wicks,
Reed. Yeah,
Melton, DuBose, you know, there's Heath. Six guys. Yeah, Heath, there's six or seven bodies ahead of them that were all, you know, contributors, or a guy, you know, in DuBose, a guy who was very, you know, highly regarded other than the injuries he had in training camp. So, and he did get activated for, you know, he was a practice squad call up a couple times during the season. So, you know, it's an uphill climb for those guys, but it's a chance for them to put themselves on film, you know, whether it's for Green Bay or for another team. So you're always excited for players to get an opportunity to, you know, make it to training camp, have that, you know, it's an ongoing job interview. So every chance these guys get, it's exciting for them. And, you know, we wish them the best, but their percentage of making Green Bay is not high.
Right. And then the other thing out of rookie camp is they're saying that the warm-ups were completely different than they have been in past years. So they're really seeing a change from the strength and conditioning. And hopefully that helps out with some of the ticky-tacky issues that for injuries that the Packers have dealt with the last few years.
You know, and that from what I've read and heard is that Green Bay's strength and conditioning program is a very quote-unquote traditional old school way of thinking. And so you hope that, you know, there's an there's a new wave influx, you know, new style of training, new style. You know, when you and I played football, weightlifting conditioning was very different than what it is today. Not a lot of Olympic lifts or things like that. It was a lot of just do some bench, do some squats and, you know, get out on the field kind of thing. Whereas nowadays it's a lot more, you know, the explosion, power cleans, RDLs, dynamic lifts, things like that. So you hope that, you know, this sports is a forever evolving thing. So you hope that with the changes, the team is evolving as well. And like you said, Joe, that it helps avoid future injuries. So onward and upward, like we said earlier, that's what we're hoping to see from Green Bay in all facets heading through. It's, you know, they're lapping the surface of the water because it's only the rookies and it's what, like a 3 or 4 day program or whatever. But
I think it's only like 2 days.
Yeah. So, or I think it's like maybe two days or some crap like that. But it's good to see that there's definitive differences from how things were done in the past. It's like even with under LaFleur kind of thing. That's, you know, a good evolution. You know, it's not just, oh, it's a totally new coaching staff, so obviously things are different. It's nice to see coaches evolve as they, you know, they've been successful and looking to sustain or reach another level. So I think that's really good for Packers fans to see. The other bit of news that we kind of alluded to is Eric Stokes. So on two sides of that, so the LaFleur reiterated what was said after the draft, that the team is very happy with where Stokes is health-wise going into the season. He's hit a lot more landmarks. He's able to do a lot more of the offseason conditioning and strength program. And he's just moving night and day better than he was last offseason. You know, at this point, last offseason, he was coming off the leg surgery operation and then was dealing with hamstring issues. This year, it sounds like he's got a pretty clean bill of health. But the other side of it is that the team did decline his fifth-year option. And while, you know, obviously it would have been a really good green light on Stokes if the Packers had picked up the option, I believe his option would have been like just a hair under $12.5 million, and that would have been fully guaranteed for 2025. That's a big gamble for a guy you haven't seen play healthy and well in 2 years. So it's, yeah, as much as it would have been nice to see, because that would have been a great vote of confidence from the Packers to say, like, yeah, this dude looks so good that we're going to just make sure that we have, you know, it's a doorstop to make sure that their foot is in the door to make a long-term contract negotiation. We've seen the team do that with Rashawn, with Jair. Kenny Clark, I believe, fell under that program, you know, that I believe the fifth year was as dates back as far as Kenny's rookie deal. So, you know, it's a tool that we've seen the Packers use to make sure that they're able to keep young talent that they've invested in. But don't take that as a sign that they're totally out on Stokes. For a guy, like we said, for a guy who hasn't been healthy in 2 years, it's a big investment to say we're just going to sign off $12.5 million to him. You know, and it would be, honestly, even a bigger gamble or more it would receive more scrutiny than like bringing back Darnell Savage last year. And even that got a lot of flack for the team. So not so much surprise, but Joel, you got any extra feelings on that one?
No, you pretty much covered it. I mean, it's not so much that they don't have trust in Stokes. It's just, like you said, it's a fully guaranteed contract for next year. And, you know, if he can go through this year healthy, completely healthy, you know, obviously maybe miss a little bit of time because not everybody can play a full 17 slates and you know,
hopefully more into the playoffs. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's not like they're saying, oh, well, this guy sucks and we're going to hang on to him and let his contract run out. No, it's just they want to know what they have so they can offer him a fair contract when the time comes to it. And that doesn't mean with all the money that they're starting to accumulate into the salary cap that they're not going to come out and do like they did with Jordan Love. You know, they didn't pick up Jordan Love's fifth year option. They just gave him a 2 year extension with some money to it. So it's possible that the Packers could do that with Stokes, where it allows him to make good money and allows it to be a team friendly deal. Yeah. What else do you think about that one?
No, yeah, that I
no,
wouldn't
I was
be
talking
surprised.
A little oh, one.
Oh yeah, she's moved. She's deeply moved. But no, I think you're spot on. Like, they could definitely do something like what they did with Love, and just from a numbers perspective. So, like I noted, the fifth year option for Stokes would have been $12.5 million. He's making just under four, like three and. Or his number this year is three mil, just a hair under 3,800,000. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, you'd be tripling his cap number next year without having seen him get through a full season. So obviously Green Bay wants a little more data, but, you know, he's a guy that if it looks good, you might see them trying, you know, you'll see smoke that, oh, now they're trying to extend him in season or something like that. And
well, they could even do that beforehand. You know, do like a 2-year, $5 million a year deal. That gives him a little bit of a pay increase, and that allows him to stay with the team for them to evaluate for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I'm not Ken Ingles by no means, so I'm not a salary cap genius, but I'm not an agent either, so I can't say that's fair. You know, money for a guy coming off of 4 years, coming off his rookie contract. But I would think that he would jump at something like that because it's still a prove-it deal, but it's still a deal that gives a little bit of a boost to confidence. He's got to have a little bit of confidence right now anyway, because the only cornerback that was taken by the Packers in this draft was in the seventh round. So they weren't trying to replace him. We all know Stokes is more of a boundary guy than anything. So the only boundaries that they have at the moment are Jair, Carrington, Stokes, and Ballantyne. So that's where we're sitting at with boundary guys. Yeah, I know. I like you said, I think we should just let her take over for the rest of the show.
Here. But yeah, so I think that the speculation now at this point is what other deals what bigger deals do the Packers potentially go for? We know that the Love deal is almost a certainty at this point. I do think that they are just, if it doesn't happen, you know, next week, they might be waiting for Campbell's money to completely come off the books come June 2nd so that they can really front load this. Yeah, you know, not like insanely or irresponsibly, quote unquote, which I don't think is possible when you're talking about your franchise quarterback, but you know, they would try to front load that deal as much as, you know, is legal under the cap or the collective bargaining provisions, just to, you know, give Love what he's due, but also keep their cap number looking pretty going forward as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then the ones that we kind of talked about during the draft, based on, you know, kind of similar to the cornerback room, how they didn't do much there, is the defensive tackle room. Your two guys that you trust to stop the run are Kenny Clark and TJ Slayton, and they're both free agents after this season. There are two more guys that, you know, after that Campbell money comes off the books, do you see a re-up for either or both of them potentially? So that's obviously stuff that we'll cover. I'm sure there'll be some rumblings or smoke to all three of those. But I believe Snyman basically said, I don't know if he's trying to be like first to the bar or anything, but he has kind of put out some tweets that are like, yep, this Jordan Love deal is going to, it's going to, you know, reset the market, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. So not sure if that's anything from insider scoop or if he's just, you know, kind of throwing out what we're all thinking in terms of what this deal is going to look like when it happens.
I think he's just guessing based on what other quarterbacks with lesser value have been getting compared to. But I really hope, in a way, that Jordan kind of does what Rodgers did with his first contract, where it was an extension, but it was like a team-friendlier extension. Because, let's face it, yes, the last 10 games of the season last year, Jordan was amazing. But the first part of the season, he was a little rough. We still 100%. Uh-oh, now she's hitting buttons. So we still don't 100% know how Jordan is going to be. We have an idea based off of a small sample size. And this isn't me trying to say Jordan Love is going to be suck or anything like that, and he's not worth the money. It's just we don't want to get in a situation like a Daniel Jones situation where he showed out for a part of the season and then they signed him to the big, you know, a bigger extension, and we all laugh at it because it's a joke of a contract now. So if it's really hard to say, I do believe in Jordan Love. I do, you know, support the team with him on there. I hope he gets his money, but I hope he keeps it a little bit more team friendly. Do the opposite of what his predecessor did. That way we can continue to build a good team around him.
Yeah. Like you said, like, get paid, but don't necessarily have to reset the quarterback market by, like, you can't see the next guy's contract when you turn around and look back kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you said, it's a weird thing to say, but it's like, don't torpedo the team cap number. That's like the most that's just be the most direct about it. Is like, yes, we it's not that we don't believe in Jordan, it's like, just remember there's 52 other guys we got to pay too. So it's that side of it. So
right, yeah. And look at the fight that we had with when Rodgers was on the team. He kept saying, we need to get this guy, we need to get that guy. Oh, great. You know, that's great, Aaron. You know, wonderful. But are you going to take less money for us to go out and get that that other player? Well, no, I want my money too. Well, then we can't go out and get, you know, player A because he's wanting too much money. And you're eating up 90% of our salary cap right now.
Yeah. No, and, you know, it's kind of going into, you know, at the end, we got the Rodgers, like, no one comes here for Green Bay, people come here to play for me, you know, you got those kind of quotes. And I know it doesn't amount to much yet, but it is nice that you've heard from, like, Jordan Morgan basically said the stuff that, you know, Love does in the offseason where he goes to the West Coast to work out. He's kind of running his own, like, football camps that, you know, he's using for him to get ready for the regular season. But it's nice to hear that kind of stuff is sort of on the radar of players on the West Coast. And obviously Green Bay is not going to get all of them and stuff, but it is cool to hear that the stuff he's doing outside of Green Bay is getting, you know, it's catching attention, like positive attention from draft prospects that, you know, and they come in the door going like, almost starry-eyed to meet him. Because, and yes, he hasn't accomplished, you know, he's proven he's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, but, and he's won a playoff game, but now it's the, okay, now do it again, but better stage of his career. And yeah, I know this is like so galaxy brain to say this, but it's nice to see that young players are like, yeah, that's a dude, and we want to hitch our wagon to that, you know, to that train. So I think, well, that it's
a kind of piggyback positive off what you were saying, that it's great to see him actually be there during the rookie orientations to meet with the draft picks and the rookies in that, because he's building that bond already. And then to another way to piggyback off what you're saying, Josh Jacobs has been adamant that the only reason he came here was to play with Jordan Love. You know, so that's a plus in itself. And, you know, it's great to hear guys like Devontae, who aren't on the team anymore, saying that, you know, Jordan's going to be a baller. And, you know, for as many faults as number 12 had, he still, you know, supports Jordan Love and all that. So it's not to say that he's a bad player. It just, we still have to take it slow with him. You know, it's not like Rodgers became a superstar overnight. He had a rocky start to his career and then started putting it all together. So, you know, let's give it time with Jordan. And again, you know, if he gets paid, he gets paid. But the hope is still there that he'll take a little bit more of a team-friendly deal and let the Packers kind of rebuild their salary cap a little bit.
Yeah, because while there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of young and cheap talent on the team right now because they're all on their rookie contracts, they're going to have decisions to make in a couple years. Yeah, Dobbs and Watson are entering. They're up for contracts in 2026. Then all the rest of the receivers are up the next year. So, you know, it's on both sides to, it's on the players to keep improving, improving their worth to the team, their worth on the field, their production on the field. And then it's for the front office to, you know, fans will always say, like, why'd they pick? It's that intersection between opportunity cost and reality, where it's like, hey, you just can't pay everyone. That's how a league with a hard salary cap line works, is you unfortunately can't keep everybody. You've got to make those hard decisions on who's going to be more important for your team moving forward. And who's going to sustain their production, their capabilities longer. And that's those are the decisions that are made that are why, you know, we're not in a NFL front office, because that's why they get paid the big bucks, is to come up with those, and why they either look like geniuses or why they get, you know, they get fruit on their face when they're run out of town because they made the quote unquote wrong decisions. When I know there are some situations where it's like, how could you sign that guy? But oftentimes it's the A, like, we looked at this, we sent this around the room, we had option A, option B, we both thought they were great ways to move forward, and option A blew up in our face and option B turned out to be the bell of the ball kind of thing. So it that's just how these things go. Sometimes there is always an element of luck when it comes to athletics, both on the field and, you know, in terms of team roster construction, but that's part of the experience, the fan experience too. So Joe, you got much else for this one?
No, like I said, it's really tough this time of year because content is running dry. I mean, yeah, I know it sucks this time of year.
Pretty soon we're going to have the dogs on the show.
It's going to have to do something. But that's like I said earlier in the episode, you know, we have a good number of listeners right now. So we want you to tell us what you want to hear at this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, we can do the same thing every other show does and, you know, go over the same crap over and over again. But then you get sick of it. And then, like I said, you get into the things like you're arguing, well, is Jared Goff better than Jordan Love, or is Brock Purdy better than Jordan Love? And, you know, power rankings that aren't really power rankings because you have no idea what each team's going to do until they do it and stuff like that. So, you know, reach out to us on our socials, reach out to us on the website, reach out to us on wherever you want so we can know what you want. We're going to be getting guests back on. We just kind of took a break from the guests a little bit because we had a bunch of guests during the pre-draft lead up and all that stuff. So we're just kind of taking a break from that for a moment so we can do what, you know, get back to just the roots of things. So yeah, like I said, just let us know what you want to hear us do. I mean, we have ideas we're throwing around. Do you want us to do like a lead up to the training camp by going, you know, through the history of the Packers, or, you know, breaking down a player, or revisiting past drafts and grading them? You know, let us know what you want to hear.
And you can do that by following our the show Twitter account, @Ohana_Packers. We will be starting up our Friday polls, but along the way, please feel free to message that Twitter account directly to let us know what you want. As we always say on every show, we want to be producing the content that you're looking for. So like Joe said, please feel free to correspond and send us ideas, because we want to make sure that we're keeping the show fresh and exciting for all of you. Please follow the podcast on your favorite podcasting apps. Give us a like and a subscribe if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Please check out our website, ohanapackers.org. We've got the streams of our podcast. We've got blog posts. We've got merch. Coffee, sweaters,
coffee,
tumblers.
We've got coffee.
we're running the gamut on everything, and we just appreciate all the support you've given us in any avenue, whether it's reads, listens, merch purchases. We appreciate all of it, and we're asking you to give us more.
If there's something that's not on the store that you would rather have than, you know, a sweatshirt, a shirt, a tumbler, or whatever, and, you know, let us know. It's not, if we can get it made, we'll get it made, you know. So if that's something you want, or, you know, if there's a certain design you would rather have, let us know and we'll see what we can do for it.
Absolutely. We do have our drawing still going. Once we hit the thresholds, I believe we're still in the high 300s at this point, but for sure when we hit 523, the Jair drawing will happen. So make sure that you are following the Ohana _ Packers Twitter handle. You can follow Joe and I to give us feedback and your thoughts, but you will not be eligible for the drawings.
Us to shut up and let the kid take over the show, then let us know that too.
Please give us a like and a subscribe on your favorite podcasting app if you're enjoying what you're hearing. And positive or negative, please give us your commentary feedback, as we will take all of those into consideration to produce the content you're looking for. The Packers move along through the 2024 offseason. Hopes are high for this coming season. The expectations are getting even higher at this point. You know, this is a team that's looking to contend for a Super Bowl probably sooner than they expected to at, you know, this time last year. But, you know, the guy that we spent a chunk of this episode talking about, Jordan Love, has pushed those expectations and, you know, given him some nitrous. So that's Iowa Joe. I'm Mike. Go Pack Go, and aloha.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.